Welcome to Defining Tanya. We're up to Ain. Last week, if you remember, we discussed Oinshim. This week we're talking about Akum, and hopefully we'll move through a few more. Well, we got a there's a complex one coming up as well. Oliver Ilun. Okay. An Akum, yeah? Oivdei Koichavim Umazalois, which basically means a human being. Yeah, there are five madregas in reality. Okay, there's doimem, someach, chai, medaber, yisro. Yeah, there's not just four, but the difference between yisro and medaber, the difference between the lowest level of yisro and the highest level of medaber, is infinitely greater. In the most profound sense of the word, than the highest level of Medaber and the lowest level of Doimim. But don't forget, you're not when we call you Yisrael, you have to remember that we're talking really, you are an amalgamation of a bunch of stuff. And in truth, you're a human being. Yisrael are human beings who have Nitzotz Yisrael connected to them. They have a neshama connected to them. So is it when we say the difference between the lowest Yisrael and the highest Akum, we're not saying in that sense the lowliest Yid next to the highest Goy. We're not saying that. We're saying that the chelik of you that makes you Yisrael, which has got nothing to do with create, well, say nothing to do with creation. That's correct, but it's not created. It's not a created being, so it's not of creation. So that's why the lowest level of Yisrael compared to the highest level of Medaber is not relevant. There's no what's the word? There's no
Correlation.
There's not that's not what I'm thinking of. There's no relationship bichlal. It's a completely different one is of creation and one is not of creation. And don't forget, creation's a big thing. Creation's a really big thing. So you've got endless levels in creation, and the highest level of creation is the human being. The Spitz, well, that wasn't, I don't know if that statement was correct. Like the seichel, the human being is an extremely high part of creation. Okay, we know that the difference between doimem just is, yeah, it just is. That's all doimem is. Yeah, the difference in doimem and tzomeach is growth, which includes reproduction. So the difference between doimem and tzomeach is growth. The difference between tzomeach, vegetable, and chai is movement, which includes emotion. Emotion and movement are the same thing in this sense. And the difference between chai and medaber is seichel. So medaber is the spitz of creation, and what defines a medaber is dibur. That's why it's called a medaber. And now this is very interesting. I only learned this recently, well, a couple of years ago. There's a book that I read. What's it called? I recommend it highly. I've mentioned it many times. It's called Return of the God Hypothesis by Stephen C. Meyer. Yeah, it's a big project. It's like a 600-page science book. But it's written really well, and it's really it's the most it's literally the most accessible. I'm not a scientist, but it's the most accessible science book that I know of. And he says that there are three there's like three proofs for an intelligent creator. Anyone knows what the three proofs are, or that there's a creator? Talking to the atheists. Anyone know what the three proofs are?
Jewish people.
No, yeah, that is, but he doesn't say that. The three proofs are the Big Bang, yeah, that the world had a beginning. Number one. Number two is the fine tuning of the universe. That for the fact that that carbon can exist, which is what we're made out of, basically. It was such a like we're talking astronomical odds of 1 to the power of 100,000, yeah, like insane odds, one out of, I'll tell you, just to put it in perspective, I do with my kids very often, if I've got a coin in my pocket just for fun, we'll flip heads and tails. I'll just go, okay, heads or tails, like just in when I'm walking in the house, and then they get into it and heads turn, and the record was Elie Shever, seven in a row. And this week, Shimmy smashed it with nine in a row. He guessed correctly nine in a row. Yeah, you know what the odds of nine in a row are? One in 500. Better, basically. One in 500. Yeah, that's astronomically low. Yeah, but not like when we're talking about fine tuning of the universe, you're talking about one in like. There aren't even names for the numbers. Literally, it's like thousands of zeros. One in a number with thousands of zeros. It's a joke. So fine tuning the universe. And then what's the final one? And this is why I mentioned this. DNA, which stands for nuclear dimer something nucleotide acid. Something like that. So DNA is a language. It's a language, and what this guy Stephen C. Meyer says is that there is zero example of a language, zero example of a language coming from anything other than an intellect. Language and intellect are synonymous in a sense. There's never ever been an example of a language that does not come from intellect. So he argues that DNA, being a language, by all definitions of the word language, yeah, had to have come from an intellect. Okay, so I just said that as point. So the human being is an intelligent creature, and therefore he has Bechira, because Bechira is a function of Seichel, meaning I will make a Shikla Das, a Cheshbon, would you say that, like, not an accounting, an evaluate,
Calculation.
what,
Calculation.
a calculation or an evaluation, yeah, that is what Bechira is based on. Meaning, I will sit there and I will choose between this car and that car based on a bunch of calculations. Which one looks nicer? Which one's got better mileage? Which one, which one's got cheaper insurance? Which one's more comfortable? And I will sit there and I will evaluate the two options using my intelligence, and I will go with the whichever car I decide I'll go with. Michael, you want to say something?
Yeah, going back to DNA, I don't remember the structure exactly, but there's a repetition in the actual construction of the DNA and the pattern of the repeating elements of it. The
Is that the
pattern is it shows up 10, 5, 6, 5, meaning I forgot the elements of the repetition, but 10, 5, 6, 5 is Yud and He and Vav and He.
I can't, I know it's like three letters and one of them repeats. It's sure. It's they're for sure onto something very, very godly. That's for sure. Square. I'll look into that, what you just said. So why are they called Akum? Oiv de kuchavim umazalos. Because that is what dictates the created world. The Koichavim and the Mazalos, the stars and the constellations, is what creates and dictates the physical world, or the create, not the physical world, the created world. The created world, yeah, which includes the spiritual world. I mean, they are Ruchni, that they create Ruchni Koichus, and so they're called Oivdei Mazal, Oivdei Koichavim Mazalos. The worshippers are the ones who serve. Why? Because they are of creation. When you're of creation, you've got no option other than to serve the stars. Meaning, what does it mean to serve? It means you are under the power of. I subjugate myself to you, is a better word for it. I am not subordinate to you. I'm under your dominion. How would you say that in not a stupid, not in a stupid, like, I'm under your dominion. That sounds so stupid.
Subservient.
Subservient to you. Yeah, that's good. I'm subservient to you. That's what human beings say,
Subject to.
because they are. What?
Subject to.
That's why they're called the Oivdei Koichavim Umezalois, whether they like it or not, because they're human and they're part of creation, and creation runs through the Koichavim and the Umezalois. That's it. So Akum is not, it's not in a, I mean, it does definitely have negative connotations, but it's not entirely negative. It's more kind of just matter of fact, descriptive. When you're of creation, then you're subject to the constellations. That's why Yisrael are not subject to the constellations, if we choose to connect to our Yisrael as opposed to our humanity, because we are not of creation. So therefore, just like Avraham stepped outside of the constellation, stepped out of his tent, however it says in the Pasuk. That's exactly the inyan, that we're not of creation. So just to go a little bit further, is that, as we know, the Yid is composed of two, that well, the Yid is a community of two things. He is a human being who has attached to him Nishmas Yisrael, yeah, a neshama. That's what makes you Yisrael. You're a human being and you have a neshama. Yeah, a human being is a human being, and that's an amazing thing. Just to discuss very quickly the difference between the humanity of Yisrael and of the Ovdei Kochavim is that the humanity of the Yisrael by default, and don't forget that this means that you this can be obscured, and in many cases it has become obscured, but by default, the factory settings, the factory installed experience of the humanity of the Yisrael, is that he or she can appreciate the reality of another human being. And that's why Jews who have got no connection to Torah mitzvahs are more liberal generally, and I mean, even, in a sense, Marxism, although it was ridiculously corrupt and stupid, really, on paper it sounds very nice, that is very, very nice on paper, I suppose. And we're so involved in liberalism, and also the tzedakah, the level of tzedakah of the secular Yidden is incomparable. Literally incomparable compared to the tzedakah of regular human beings, because the Yisrael, the humanity of the Yisrael, is a more refined humanity, because his humanity comes from Klipas Noiga, which we know is the translucent klipa that has the ability to recognize another. And the humanity of the default Akum is of Klipas Timaeus, which means it has no natural ability to appreciate another, but because it is intelligent, it can train itself to appreciate another. So it could be that the humanity of the Yisrael, if he or she was unlucky enough to be in the wrong time and the wrong place amongst the wrong people, the humanity of the Yisrael could become opaque, meaning not available to appreciate another. And on the other side of the equation, the humanity, well, there's only the humanity of an Akum, yeah, who was born in the right time in the right place, met the right people, and took responsibility in the right way, could, for all intents and purposes, become deeply appreciative of the reality of another. So being Yisrael is not a green card. It's not. It's being Yisrael is a privilege and a responsibility, and it is. It is. It's not like. It's nothing to be arrogant about. It's a responsibility, and if we don't take responsibility for that responsibility, then we've. That's not good. That's not good. So the Akum is actually able to ascend its factory, its pre-installed factory settings of being unable to appreciate another, and by use of its intellect and its bechira, etc., it can train itself. It can be machanech itself to appreciate another human being. And in many ways, as you know, because you guys are all involved, all of us here know. I mean, where I grow, where I am, where my kids are, we're in the thick of Jerusalem, in Haredi Jerusalem, yeah. So my kids, bless them, their understanding of Akum is literally, people walking around with clubs and machetes and just do all kinds of terrible things. We know that that's bichlal not the case, yeah? And it becomes almost kind of difficult for us, being amongst Akum, to appreciate a lot of things that Chazal say about Akum. Yeah, everyone agrees with me there? And the reason is because when Chazal were writing, when the Rishonim and the Achronim were writing, yeah, they were living in a time when the Akum were in a very dark, dark place. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of Akum, so there's still a lot of darkness as well. But we've also moved into a new realm of sophistication and intelligence, and as a result, we have a lot of Akum now who have become genuinely appreciative of others. Like, they have gone through the due diligence of refining themselves through their intellect, and that is that's a good thing. That's a good thing, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so that's it. That's what Akum is on one. The reason why we're talking about now is because Akum is begins with an ayin, which is we're in ayin. So Ode Kachavim Mezalos. So he said that because they're human and of creation, they are subject to the constellations. So in a sense, they serve. That's Ovdei Kochavim u'Mezalos. They serve the constellations, so to speak, meaning they're subject to. And like we just said, that they are available. They have the availability to train themselves to appreciate another, but that's not their factory default position on large. Okay, clear.
Got it.
Okay, let's just, we're going to do one more. This is quite a co let's it's not so let, we have to I have to finish up early anyway, so another 10 minutes and we're done. Okay, Ilav Olol. Has anybody ever heard that expression, Ilav Olol? Let me just put out what makes sense before I die. Excuse me. Okay, so Ilav Olol, they translate as cause and effect. But it doesn't mean that. I mean, we'll see. It doesn't see cause and effect, the way Ravana says it, is like cause is you sit in the sun for too long. Effect is you get burned. Yeah, that's cause and effect. Yeah. Cause is you ate a lot of ketchup with your chips, with your fries, and the effect is there's no ketchup left. That's cause and effect, yeah? If you have a lot of ketchup with your fries, then you end up without any ketchup. Okay? Ilva'ala doesn't mean that. Ilva'ala is talking about the idea of potentiality coming into actuality. So cause and effect is not you sit in the sun, you get burned. Cause and effect is a chicken coming from an egg. So you have the cause, which is the egg, and you have the effect that is the chicken, or whatever you say the other way around as well. Yeah. But what we're trying to say, it's very different to the fact that you sit in the sun and you get burned. So it doesn't really mean cause and effect. It means the ila is, so to speak, a field of potentiality. If that's a word, I think it is. Yeah. Whatever. If it isn't, we just made it up. The Ila, the higher one, that is the source. And the Olal is what comes from it. So, for example, a good example of this would be I think it's called an ingot or an engot. I think it's an ingot of silver. Yeah? Ingot with an I. Yeah, so an ingot of silver, a lump of raw silver, you could fashion from it a becher, a silver cup. But that cup existed in potentiality in the lump of silver. So too, there was a menorah, there was candlesticks. There was there was the besamim holder, whatever else, yeah. That's the idea of ilav that the olal, the cause, yeah, or the thing that comes from it, again, it's not why it's called cause and effect, but the cause was somehow contained with, so the effect, the olal, the effect was somehow contained in the ilah. And that is how creation worked. The Ilva'olul is the way that we describe the really the histalshus of creation. That there is a potential field. So just as a we've said this before, the first stage is that, in a sense, the thing is. There's just a level of isness, yeah. That's like the very highest level of Bria, let's say. There just is. What is there? Well, we didn't say that yet. There just is. At the level of there is, you realize you are, yeah. Also, your car is. Also, the ground on which you're standing on is. The broom in your kitchen is. So on that level of just you are. Yeah, well, everything's contained in that by definition. Your car, your glasses, your beard, you, the ground, the stars, anything that is contained within is. Now let's divide the is into two sections, yeah? Spiritual and physical. Oh, now that's the ila, that's the olal that comes from the ila. The ila. Is it is the olal? Now we've got two kinds of is's. We've got physicality and spirituality. Now on that level, you being your body, let's say, is not the same as you being your neshama. Your let's not say neshama. Your nefesh Bahamas. One's physical and one's spiritual. So on the level of is. Yeah, your body and your personality, let's say, are one and the same. they're there together on the same level. But now that Ela comes down into an Alul. The Alul now is physicality and spirituality. Now let's take physicality. That's now the Ela. What would be the Alul from physicality, for example? Any examples? Animal, vegetable, and mineral. Those are all physical things. So with on the level of it is physical, animal, vegetable, mineral, that's it. They're all the same. They are, and they're physical. So now the animal, vegetable, and mineral are now the olol that comes from the ila, which is it is, and it's physical. Now that becomes the ila. The olol are now these three categories. We're making the categories up. Now take animal. Yeah, animal is now the ila of, let's say, vertebrate, invertebrate, animal, mammal, reptile, whatever you want to say. Let's say mammal, reptile. Yeah. On a level of animal, mammal and reptile and invertebrate and whatever are all the same. They all exist there. Now, the olul is they come down into. Mammal into mammal, and now mammal comes down into equine, bovine, canine, feline, caprine, etc. Yeah, now these are olul of the ila, which is the get the idea. This is ilva olul. Ila means the source which everything exists at is in potentia, and the olol is now when it comes out into actuality. But now that olol becomes an ila for a new olol. So like feline, cat, yeah? Cat now divides down into, big cat, small cat. Big cat divides down into tiger, leopard, puma, lion, cheetah, lynx, jaguar, etc. And then tiger becomes an ila for Siberian, Bengal, whatever other tigers there are. Yeah? That's ilva-olul. And that's how creation was. That's the way that especially in Chabad Chasidus, but it is other places as well, but especially in Chabad Chasidus, they describe the downward kind of how would you call that? The downward expression of creation, the Hishtaushlus of creation. That's Ilva. Okay, next week we have Atzvus and Esospheres. That's for fun. Yeah, Michael.
So I was just brought this up yesterday that I said the best definition for Hashem that I've heard is Hashem is. But I never heard, no, why? That's my question. So until this year, that's the only time I've ever heard the expression of is applied. You just applied everything but Hashem.
Exactly. You can't say Hashem is on Hashem as himself. Hashem in name. When we're talking about Hashem's name, now he is. But Hashem himself is beyond even saying he is. That's something that he did. You can't even say he is. That's too much. You've said too much. What's Hashem? That's the answer. I don't know.
The response he told me is that there's a lot of graffiti artists in LA, and there was a famous one who used to call himself Iz, but he felt it was too holy of a name, so he changed his name to as AS instead of IS.
And what about IZ? That'd be better, though.
Okay,
No,
sure.
but it's a very important, that's a very important thing. Hashem chose to be in himself who he is. You can't even say he is. He chose that. So what is he? No idea. No idea.
Is it proper to say Hashem is Hashem? Or that's already
I mean, you can't,
an
you,
expression?
when you're talking about him himself, which we call Ein Sof, there is no name to that. You can't, that is, you can't say that. That's not nice.
But would that apply to us as well?
What, the very essence of who we are?
Yes.
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Probably not, but I don't know. Okay. Chazak v'yamatz,
Thank you. Have a good night.
yeah, good night, Kol Tov.